Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this, what are we at here, Thursday morning, February 1st, 2018. Can you believe it? February, this is going to be an amazing month. I really believe it. But before I go any further, I want to share a prophetic word with you. Wherever you are today, you're listening to The Watchman here on the Omega Radio Network. I'm Vincent Xavier. I'm the pastor of New Wine Ministry Church in Northwest Arkansas, and I am going to ask you to take these words to heart. You be the judge as to whether or not they belong to you, but I hear the Lord saying, no more husks. No more husks. Never again will my people eat of the husks. Never again will my chosen ones walk with a reproach. For this day, even the third day, I am removing the reproach from my name, and those who wear my name and carry my presence within them shall be free of the reproach. My name, my power, and my glory have been put to shame because of the poor witness in the people, but no more. I have brought a new generation out of the wilderness and brought them through into the promised land. Yes, a land flowing with milk and honey. These are about to enter into all the promises I have made, but first I am removing the reproach and breaking the yoke. The burden is being taken away from off the shoulders, my divine government, and the yoke of bondage from off your neck. No more a slave. The old man is being consumed by the power of my anointing. I am removing from my people the hardness of their hearts, and they are walking in covenant with me. Through their covenant, they shall walk upon the high places of the earth. My sons shall arise in this day, male and female, and cause my name, my power, and my glory to shine forth to all nations. These shall enter in and take the dominion. All the kingdoms of the earth are being transferred into my kingdom. Step outside of your little worlds. See the greatness of my power. Allow my greatness to enter into you. Truly, my greatness enters into little things and makes them great. Though you are small and but dust of the earth, my presence is in you, and it shall cause you to abound in the earth. You shall do exploits in my name, and your name will be great like the kings of the earth, because you have trusted me and not turn back to your own devices. I will exalt you and cause your life to abound in wealth and riches. From this day forth, your every moment shall be filled with excitement, not the excitement of the world, but with the excitement of what I am doing in your life. You shall bud and flowers shall come forth. Your fruit shall be seen and your life complete. I have sent the rains to you. I am raining upon you this day and causing my word, which never returns void or empty, to come alive and spring forth in you. The incorruptible nature of that seed is coming to life and is about to manifest itself in and through you. I am taking you on a journey this day that will thrill your heart as one door after another begins to open. Dreams, hopes, and desires shall spring forth. In the midst of trial, trouble, and tribulation, you shall have love, joy, and peace. Yes, even all the fruits of my spirit abounding in you. Step outside. As the seed breaks forth through the hardness of the earth, so your inner man shall break forth in this due season. For this is the appointed time, the ripe time. Open your eyes. Look beyond your present state. Pierce through the darkness into the light. Just as the seed pierces through the earth, so the seed in you is piercing through the earth of the old man. Let my word, my seed, in you spring forth. The season is upon you. The rain you are experiencing is moistening your soil and bringing life, revival, to the seed. The reproach that has been upon my beloved has been the flesh, the old man, the carnal mind, the corrupt man. This man has been dead, and my beloved has carried this dead man around for too long. Therefore, I am cutting away this old dead man and rolling the reproach of death off my beloved, and resurrection power and resurrection life is shooting forth in every direction. Oh, eye has not seen and ear has not heard what the Lord has prepared for those who love him, yet I have revealed it to you. I have sent my word throughout the earth and have refreshed my people and have encouraged their hope. And now the reality of those things that have been spoken are coming to be done. They're coming. From this day forward, you shall eat the crops of Canaan. Never again will my people eat the husks. Hallelujah. You know where that prophetic word came from? The book of Joshua. And do you remember one of the first things the Lord did with that generation that he took out of the house of bondage when Israel was in captivity for over 400 years and then 40 years in the wilderness? And when he finally brought them into the promised land, remember they had crossed over. The very first thing the Lord did was circumcise that new generation, and he declared that he was rolling away the reproach. Well, what was their reproach? Their reproach was, and I'm actually just feel very led to get to Joshua right now and read that for just a moment, and I'll tell you what their reproach was. It was 400 years of a slave mentality. It was actually 430 years to the time they were released, but they were in Egypt. They were in Egyptian bondage. They learned how to be slaves. Their minds had become completely immersed with the idea of being slaves. And let me see if I can find exactly where this one is in chapter 5. I'm pretty sure. So I'll get there. But this was their reproach, slaves in Egypt. Then their infamous 40 years in the wilderness and that first generation's trouble with God, which was transferred to the younger generation. So not one, there were only two people, as you remember the story, that came out of the wilderness into the promised land that was given to them 40 years earlier. But that whole generation died in the wilderness, but they gave birth to their sons and daughters. And the sons and daughters that were born in the wilderness were now entering in with Joshua and Caleb. They were the only two of that former generation. So those two and that entire new generation, remember, sin transfers. Generational curses transfer. So that slave mentality, that grumbling, murmuring, complaining spirit that was in that first generation in the wilderness, it underwent those severe trials. Well, that was all downloaded into the DNA, into the soul realm of the younger generation. So what does God do? He brings them over the Jordan. They now settle down. They are circumcised. and the reproach is rolled away from them. And here's what it says. Here's what it says. And I, Lord, help me to find that, because I wasn't prepared to do this, but I think it's important about that reproach being rolled away. They all pass over. They're talking about what's going on. And then there's only one way for me to do this. Oh, here it is. So in Joshua chapter 5, I'll begin in verse 2. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. So this is the second generation. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. So here's why he did it. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now, all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land, which the Lord swore unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that flows with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. In other words, for those 40 years. Now, in verse 8, it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their places in the camp till they were made whole. And the Lord said to Joshua, listen now, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Hallelujah. This day, I roll the reproach of Egypt off of you. You know, you and I, in like manner, we have come out of the world. And Egypt always represents the world. It always represents the bondage. It always represents, you know, bondage to sin, curses. There's nothing good about Egypt. And so we have come out of Egypt. That generation came out of Egypt. They grew up in the wilderness. They crossed over the Jordan, but they carried the curse of Egypt on them. And it was at that time when God used the sharp knives to circumcise them. You and I have a circumcision in the new covenant. Our hearts are circumcised by faith that God has performed an operation within us, not actual knives. You know, it's a circumcision of the heart. And so this is awesome. Because that younger generation carried the curse, and it was time for it to be cut off, and it was time for the reproach of Egypt to be rolled away. And God is saying to you today, however much reproach, shame, guilt, condemnation, inferiority complexes, whatever your problem is out there mentally, you got to remember that came from the world. That came from generational bloodline curses. That came from your mommy and your daddy and your grandmama and your grandpa. That goes from both sides of the generational bloodline curses. But today, God is saying through his son, Jesus Christ, no more husks for you. It's time for you to stop living and thinking like a slave. You are not a slave to the Egyptian empire anymore. You're not living on this earth to build the pyramids of Egypt with just brick and mortar and straw, right? This is a moment that God is speaking prophetically to you. No more husks. No more living like a slave. No more guilt. No more shame. No more condemnation for the reproach of your past in the world. Regardless of what it is, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you. The blood of Jesus Christ makes you whole. Well, that's how we're going to begin our broadcast today. You be the judge. If you're ready to receive it, praise the living God. I hope you do, because it's the truth. It's the truth. Well, let's shift for just a little bit, and let's talk for just a moment about an article here that's coming from a former U.S. Army colonel who warns danger is close, and rogue sleeper cells may be being activated as Democratic Party and deep state enemies of America within get ready to be slammed with the release of the memo. Everybody knows about the memo yet? Well, we're going to talk about that memo in just a little bit, that FISA memo. But here's what the colonel says, this the former U.S. Army colonel. He said, according to prominent Christian leader, Franklin Graham, America is already in the throes of a coup d'etat, with very real attempts still being made to overthrow the government of President Donald Trump via the usage of the media to accomplish their goals. And while Graham believes that bullets may not be used in this attempted overthrow, all we need to do is look back to the administration of Barack Obama and his arming to the teeth of numerous federal agencies all across the nation and his stacking of the deep state with corrupt political operatives who were now seen exposed before our eyes. Where are all of those weapons and ammunition now? While Graham, warning on the Todd Starnes radio show, he said, there are people in this country who are wanting to destroy the president and take over the government by force. We get one such hint of such a diabolical plan in the first of this article, where the former National Intelligence Director James Clapper and former NSA and CIA Director General Michael Hayden recently joined Don Lemon on CNN Tonight and levied veiled threats and a shot across the bow at President Trump and his plans to release the memo. And while Americans may soon get a massive dose of truth with that forthcoming release of the memo, with President Trump saying its forthcoming release is 100%, we've long been extremely concerned here that if the enemies of America within felt that they were soon to face the music, they'd launch their final false flag to complete their long work towards down of America. So as we are going to continue on here today, this is the deal with the FISA report. This is the memo that everybody's talking about. And this article just simply states that Republicans are reporting planning to kick off the month of February by releasing the infamous FISA memo alleging egregious abuses of FISA surveillance powers by the FBI, Reuters reported, citing a Trump administration official who said on Wednesday that the memo is likely to be released on Thursday. Well, today's Thursday. The four-page memo has circulated among the House and has been seen by the president and his chief of staff, John Kelly. Trump has until Friday to decide whether the memo should remain classified. So, the news comes from the FBI yesterday issued a rare public statement condemning the memo as factually inaccurate, saying it had grave concerns about its release, which it said could be detrimental to national security. So even Democrats, who initially said the memo was intended to challenge the Mueller probe, are now admitting that its contents would be damning and raise questions about the Bureau's decision to wiretap Trump campaign aide Carter Page, evidence that was used to help justify the launch of the Trump investigation. So Adam Schiff, the top Dem on the House Intel Committee, reportedly said yesterday that it could lead the firings of Deputy AG Rod Rosenstein and Special Counsel Mueller. Could you imagine? Mueller, another FBI top dog, getting fired because of the revelation of this FISA report. Well, earlier this week, Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe announced his resignation, reportedly under pressure, as reports of an internal probe leaked. McCabe, along with former FBI Director James Comey and Rosenstein, are all reportedly named in the report. Trump previously said this week that he was 100% going to release the memo following a question from a Republican lawmaker following the State of the Union. You know, this is so fun. I got to tell you, folks, to just watch the light shine in the darkness, to watch the cover get ripped off of the corruption that has been going on in our nation. And these guys have all kind of messed with Trump. And it just seems every time somebody does touch this man, it just kind of comes right back on their head. There's something going on here, and it's pretty incredible. Well, according to lawmakers who have reviewed the memo, it contains a discussion about the infamous dossier that was put together about then-candidate Donald Trump by a British spy. Most of the claims in the scandalous dossier have not been verified. Most involve alleged ties to Russian entities. And as we said earlier, the White House is still pondering whether to release the memo's supporting documents along with the memo. So here's a memo that has the potential to expose the deep state corruption within the FBI, and it's going to name names, and a lot of people are already foreseeing this revelation, and they are resigning from their post. And I love in the State of the Union address where the president said it's time to fire all the people in the federal government that are not supporting the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, there really is somewhat of a revolution going on within our nation, and it is true. And this does not dissuade us or, you know, take us away from the realities from God's perspective. But as a citizen of the United States of America, this is really awesome to watch. The thing that we would love to see in the year 2018, in the beginning of the year, not the end of the year, we would love to see two major laws overturned in the Supreme Court of the United States of America. And you know what they are. We want to see Roe versus Wade destroyed. We want to see it dissolved and broken down. And we want to see the mass murder machine of Planned Parenthood destroyed. We want it totally, completely defunded. No more legal abortions in the United States of America. No more taxpayer dollars funding Planned Parenthood around the world. No more. We want abortion ended. That would be awesome to see. And then, of course, number two, overturn the infamous laws that were promoted in 2015, giving licenses to men who marry other men, women who marry other women. In other words, it is simply right for a sane society to not embrace the abnormality of homosexual and lesbian relationships in the realm of marriage. If you want to live that lifestyle, go do it. Put it back where it belongs, behind closed doors, until the right reformer comes and wipes out the house of the sodomites. But right now, our land needs to be cleansed. Our land needs to be purged. Our psyche has to undergo a revolution, a reformation, a translation. We need a thorough cleansing of the conscience in our nation. And it's not just shutting down these two laws in Washington, D.C. within the Supreme Court. It is time to activate and absolutely blow them to smithereens, but also get into Hollywood and start cleansing the industry. Start and continue to expose these leftists and all of these people that have been spewing out the garbage, the satanic ugliness upon our nation's mind. We need a psychological healing in America, because the psyop warfare, the psychological warfare against our nation for an entire generation has been so intense that people are laboring under the cursed atmosphere like Sodom and Gomorrah when Lot was living in that land and his righteous soul was vexed every day. Yes, let's hope in 2018 that this will be the movement of God through an administration that will break the yoke of these things, and we should hope and pray for that. However, at the same time, we should not be negligent. We should not be ignorant. We should not be get caught off guard that as these things begin to take place, false flag events will come. You still have to learn to be in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right thing right now. You still have to walk with caution. Everybody should be ready. Everybody should be prepared, because the revolution is not necessarily going to make America what it once was. What it's going to do is spark these end time activities that are recorded and written in the Word of God globally. So, yes, let the righteous be glad. Let the righteous rejoice. Let the energy and the prayer of God's people get behind Donald Trump, this administration, to do the good things that they want to get done. Let's support that. But at the same time, let us understand that these will release the trigger events. These will cause the satanic powers of darkness that are operating in the spirit world and in the hearts and minds of men to be activated, because they're getting their back against the wall. So get ready for a big fight. Don't be afraid of the fight. Stand strong in the midst of the battle is what we need to simply share and say today. So That is where we're at now. Maybe somebody has a better understanding about the FISA report. You'd like to share that. The number to call is 818-369-0326. I am pumped up. I am inspired. I am so thankful and so happy to know and see these things. And I concur. The only thing I'm unwilling to do is think that this means everything is lollipops and sunshine. I don't believe lollipops and sunshine are coming to America. I believe that the contending of kingdoms, the contest, the war between nations is what Jesus said would be in the last days. He said there would be nation rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and you know the rest of the story, but I want to read it loud and clear one more time in the Gospel of Mark. And here's what it says. In the Gospel of Mark, we are told in verse 5 that Jesus answering began to say, "Take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows." So like in Matthew 24, Mark said, in the Gospel of Mark, it is earthquakes, it is famines and troubles. And in Matthew's Gospel, it is earthquakes, it is pestilence. Here's what he says exactly. Let me just read it one more time. He says there'll be wars and rumors of wars in Matthew. He says kingdom shall rise against kingdom, nation against nation. Then he said there'll be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. And then let's look to Luke. We can't leave Luke out. Luke chapter 21. We're going to put this all together in just a moment about what we should be looking for in the last days. And if there's ever been an end time scenario at the end of the ages where we live, I mean, globally around the world, it's all happening. But here's what it says in Luke 21, verse 10, the latter part of verse 10. Then said Jesus unto them, "Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven." How many great signs have we seen since April of 2014? I don't ever recall a season of celestial signs that are so connected to Bible prophecy as we have seen ever. I mean, from that first blood red moon during Passover 2014 to the second blood red moon during Tabernacles 2014 to the third blood red moon during Passover 2015 to the fourth blood red moon during Tabernacles 2015. Then beyond that, the solar eclipses that were involved in those things. And then those ominous tetrad blood red moon signs brought the most turmoilous candidacy race for the White House in the history of our nation, the most controversial Russian spies, blah, blah, blah. We saw the most amazing reversal that because every, and that word literally meant reversal. The number of the year of 2016 literally meant reversal. And the New World Order, the globalists, the communists had everything going. And all of a sudden, we've seen this reversal take place on the heels of that blood red moon tetrad. Then, of course, we came up with the other signs. We had the solar eclipse on August 21st, 2017. Then we had the Revelation chapter 12 sign on September 23rd. And now we've had a super blood red moon and a blue moon. I mean, and on that night, this speech that provoked again the national sovereignty, the independence of the United States of America, the nation that wants to, you know, make things right again against the globalists in the world today. And so these are what Luke says. He talks more about signs. He says there'll be signs which adds to the earthquakes, the pestilences, the famines, the troubles. But then he says in verse 25, there shall be signs in the sun, there will be signs in the moon, and there will be signs in the stars. We've seen them all. And upon the earth, distress of nations. That's happening with Perplexity, the sea of humanity and the waves of adversity roaring and men's hearts failing them for fear. I think there's some fearful people right now for the exposure that's going on in the world today. I think there's going to be a lot of heart attacks coming up very soon in our world, in our country. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. So here's the admonition to you and I. If there's some sin in your life that would cause you to fear at the revelation of the righteousness of God, get rid of it. Put it under the blood. Confess your sin and repent and turn to God now while you have a chance before you see the fearful unveiling of things that will cause your heart to stop beating. Now is the time, Church of Jesus Christ, men and women of God everywhere, to repent, to confess our sins before God. If there is anything that God would rip the cover off and expose, and it would bring shame and disgrace and fear to your life, get rid of it now. Confess it, break it, repent, turn away from it. Put the cigarettes away. Put the alcohol away. Put the pornography away. Put the pride away, the jealousy away, the envy away. Put away everything that is shameful in your life. Put away anything. Man, this is just a call of the Spirit. Why? Because the things that the writers Matthew, Mark, Luke have written about are happening. We are close to the second coming of Jesus Christ. We are there. He is at the door. And that may be 100 years, but that's really close in God's timeline, believe me. But I don't think it's 100 years. I don't think it's 10 years. I don't think it's, you know, that far away. I believe we have stepped into a moment where we're going to see an acceleration of the purposes of God on this earth, while at the same time an acceleration of the dark principalities and powers, and it's all a battle for men's souls. So right now, the most important thing in your life is not the FISA document. The most important thing in your life, in my life, is not DACA. It is not any of these things. It's not even about making America great again. The most important thing to you and I is that we have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we have a reservation in heaven, that we are totally delivered and set free. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the way it has to be. I am waiting right now for my friend from Virginia, Brother Bob Hagen, one of the hosts on the Omega Radio Network, to call into the program. So, Brother Bob, if you're out there, press 1 on the dial pad. I'll be waiting to bring you in. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said it was at the door. We need to keep ourselves prepared. This is the greatest time to be alive in the history of the world. And to help me concur is Brother Bob Hagen. Good morning, Bob. How are you today in Virginia?
Yeah, good morning, Vincent. I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Pumped up, inspired, ready to go, sir. What's happening in your part of the world?
All I was going to say was I agree with what you just said. I was going to say, bless you. Have a great week. Boy.
Well, God.
The times are sure changing, aren't they? It's just amazing. You know, but I tell you, that last point you made there, you know, it's not what everybody, a lot of these things are distractions. You know, there's a lot going on right now. I mean, obviously in the government and in our country, but if you don't have your life right with the Lord, that's the main focus you should have. And what you're talking about there is putting off the old man. You know, we have, in the new birth, we have a new nature, but we still have the old nature that we have to deal with. We have to, day by day, we have to put off that nature. I mean, it's a battle to put off that nature. We need to do it. And, you know, as we all know, the battlefield's in the mind. And the weapon is the Word of God, and the key is being faithful. And if we can do that every day, you know, we're gonna grow into the men and women of God that He wants us to be. I mean, and it's an effort to do it, but we have Christ in us, so we can do it. And we shouldn't, you know, prayer is a big part of it. Reading the Word every day is a big part of it. You know, praying for each other, praying for yourself. You know, there's a lot of different aspects of it. Being able to have the freedom to speak the Word of God on the airwaves, I mean, we should be thankful for that too, shouldn't we, Vincent?
Well, absolutely, as long as we can. Bob, in what you're saying is again, this is the imperative. Number one, faith in Christ. Get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is the grace of God, the mercy of God. It has no performance involved. It is a matter of faith to get your name written. But then, beyond that, we begin the journey of working out our salvation with fear and trembling. And it is, as you said, all about putting off the old man. Get rid of the shame, disgrace, and condemnation of that old life. That's why no more husks. So get rid of that old life. Get rid of that old mindset. Work at it. Get immersed in the Word of God and put on the new man. Water the seed, which is Christ, that has been sown into the good soil of our hearts. And let's bring forth the hundredfold manifest presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the journey of a Christian more than anything else in this world. I totally agree.
Right. Sure is. And if anybody, you know, I mean, I could sit here and talk about my past before I became a believer, and I don't want to waste time with doing that. But at the same time, if anybody had, you know, if God had decided to save me upon the merits of my life, to that point, I never would have gotten saved. But and it's difficult a lot of times, Vincent, to, you know, the only way that we get rid of the baggage, the husks and the things like that, is to go to the Lord in prayer and just and ask Him to show us the stuff we need to get rid of too. It's a lot of times it's so far down in our subconscious that that's how the Spirit works. You know, it digs these things out and brings them to light. You know, it gets rid of the darkness and it brings forth the light, like it says in the Word of Thessalonians we're trying to lead people away from the darkness into the light. I was doing one of my programs and I thought to myself, you know, I asked the question, have you ever raised somebody from the dead? And in a way, every time you lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are raising somebody from the dead, because they, in a way, they're, if they don't have any hope, where are they going to end up? You know, they're dead in trespasses and sins, and you're giving them an opportunity to come to a knowledge of the truth and to the greatest thing that's ever happened. What we have is an unspeakable gift. It really is. It's pretty marvelous.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Brother Bob Hagen, and Bob Hagen is a regular host on the Omega Radio Network. His broadcasts are traveling around the world, and there has been quite a response from the Middle East, of all places. The numbers are larger on your program, Bob, in the Middle East, people are hearing. But I want you, ladies and gentlemen, to consider what you're hearing. Here's an individual that is giving his particular time on the Omega Radio Network and concentrating on the transformation, on putting off the old man, the deep subconscious work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. And Bob's program could be heard every day at 5:05 p.m. right here on the Omega Radio Network. And we've got a few things that we're readjusting, because we're waiting for some new, fresh speakers like Daniel Seckham, Don Huddle, Pastor Ken Wagner. These men are all bringing their radio message to the Omega Radio Network as well. So there's some changes going on in the website. But right now, Bob, I've got you at 5:05 p.m. Your program is called As He Leads with Bob Hagen. So we really do appreciate you being on the air. And you need to know, Bob, that your labor is not in vain. If one person gets set free, cleaned up, and prepared for the eternal blessing that's before them because of the labor of your radio broadcast, it is a well-done job. But I know that a lot more listening than that. So go ahead and speak into this moment. Anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, about the only thing I'd like to share, and I appreciate the time this morning, Vincent, is how thankful I am to have the opportunity to be able to speak the word. And I'm thankful to hear there's many people that are being able to hear it. And if anybody has any comments they'd like to make, you know, either good or bad, they can send me an email at HagenRW52@yahoo.com, and or let Vincent know what you think. I don't mind criticism. If there's something I've messed up or something I've done wrong, you know, please let me know. But very thankful, and I just want to exhort everybody who's listening this morning to really, you know, if there's something that's holding you back from really walking on the truth of God's word, just go to the Lord in prayer. And you know, as Vincent was saying earlier, repent. And repenting, you know, it will take some time to do it, but it's certainly worth it. And, you know, Peter said that in the book of Acts, repent and turn. You know, we have to turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if God is calling you, you'll know it. And my prayer is that you'll just give Jesus a chance. And thankful for you, Vincent and Patricia and all the folks there, for Kyle for putting the programs on, and for Ken and also all the other folks that are there helping you out. And I'll talk with you again soon.
All right, brother. Thank you very much. Bob Hagen, we appreciate your call coming in today, all the way from Virginia. You know, it's interesting, as Bob is dealing with the conscience, you know, you have a brain, I have a brain, you have a soul, I have a soul. And did you know, I was listening to Rick Wiles last night on True News, and they brought forth from the Davos, Switzerland Economic Forum that they went to, which was such a joyful thing for them to do. What a great blessing to have been there and report the news of what that conference was. But they brought back some amazing information on artificial intelligence. And let me just tell you what I walked away with. I heard the man, the scientist, the guy, you know, sharing what they are already doing. Do you know that you always hear about people hacking computers, right? You know, you got these guys out there, and they're online, and they're hacking into the computers, and they're getting your information, and they're stealing your identity and all that stuff. Well, the artificial intelligence that has been at work already, they are actually hacking the brain, human beings. I know it sounds crazy, but it's called the digital hacking, where not only can they tell what you buy and what you like to eat and how many minutes it's going to take you to get home, like you'll find on your phone. They said, we've known that for years. We know the habits of people, but we've gone deeper. We are now taking over. We can actually get into their psyche. And it was called the biochemistry of the human being, that they are now able to hack into and know what they feel, know what they think. And this is all artificial intelligence. I'm telling you that if you and I don't get dressed up in the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, we can be literally taken over. We've got to make it impossible for the devil to digitally take over our beings and control us. Imagine if somebody hacked into your brain and began to put thoughts into your brain, and they told you to go do this or go do that. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so late in the hour, and the diabolical plans of the enemy are so deep, and really, they are so evil. We have got to keep ourselves under the blood of Jesus Christ. I've got a few minutes left in the broadcast today. If you have any questions or comments about today's show, you could call in, not show, broadcast, and we'll just look forward to having you. In the interim, what I want to do is I want to share a very brief outline of divine strategies for living in the last days. That, or I'm going to defer and wait till tomorrow, because I wanted to make a point today that, and I think in every broadcast that we have, that we are living in the last days, and we can never lose that perspective. As a believer in Jesus Christ, today may be your last day. Today may be my last day. And so we have to always have that thought in mind, that understanding that life is quick, and our lives are like a vapor, and we are here today and gone tomorrow. All flesh is as grass. It raises up, and the glory and the flower, it fades away. And so we've got to keep that perspective, because nobody knows what tomorrow will bring. We don't know if we're going to be alive to see what happens with all the stuff going on in America. The reality is that our born-again spirit has an eternal dwelling place in the heavens. I want to bring Pastor Ken Wagner into the program and say good morning to him. Pastor Ken, how are you today, sir?
Good morning, Pastor. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Thank you for that sneeze. God bless you.
It was just a cough. I just got something in my throat there for a second. The things that you're talking about really make you ponder and think, and I believe there's going to be a severe testing, even for Christians, on here. And I'm looking back at Matthew 5, starting in verse 44 on here, and it says, "But I say to you, love your enemies," and this is Jesus talking, "love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven." If not the supreme test for people, I don't know what is. But then he goes on in verse 48 and says, "Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." And that's what God wants for each and every one of us. You know, if we're not ready, it's going to be awful hard to pass that test if we don't know what's coming. You know, and as we clean out, as you know, the things that you're saying on the radio are so important that they're giving us thought on how we can begin to go ahead and do those very things that empty us out of the imperfections that we have so that we can do these very things that Christ told us to go ahead and do. And it's going to have to be a choice on each and every person's part.
You know, Pastor Ken, I hear the exhortation in your spirit. I'm hearing a real depth of understanding coming on the inside of you to the body of Christ. Also joining us on the air right now is Pastor Ted Marshall from Florida. I know he's a dear friend of yours. So, Pastor Ted, say good morning to Pastor Ken, Pastor Ken to Pastor Ted, and Pastor Ted and Pastor Ken to all of us, and all of us to both of you. How are you, Pastor Ted?
We are doing outstanding and getting stronger in the Lord every day.
Hallelujah.
There you go, Pastor.
We are excited to see that Don's going to come aboard, and we're also going to have Pastor Ken come aboard. This what an incredible lineup that you're setting up, and good, strong men of God are standing up and preaching the word, and it's going worldwide. Vincent, you need to be congratulated. This is quite a project that the Lord's put in front of us, in front of you, and I'm excited about what's going on. I'm looking forward to what the Lord has for us in this next year coming up. We live in a very exciting time, as you said, and this is the end times, but it's not our end. It's just our beginning to be stronger with the Lord.
Amen. Pastor Ken, go ahead and respond to that. What a great exhortation, and thank you for the blessing. Yeah, as you pastors and you men of God out there, keep praying that the Omega Radio Network will continue to bring on these fresh voices and these powerful ministries. These are just a bunch of God's sons and daughters that have something to say. God has something to say through us. We've allowed ourselves to listen to what he has to say. We're going to broadcast that message to the ends of the earth. Pastor Ken, go ahead.
Yeah, Pastor, and Pastor Ted, that was a good inspiration for a lot of people to hear, and your messages on the radio are as such as well, too. But, you know, I'd be a fool if I told you that I didn't have some apprehension about what is coming down. But I have to always bear this in mind and look at it in this light. What is the end result going to be? Where am I going to be? Am I going to be serving with my Lord Jesus Christ? Or am I going to go ahead and be left out in the cold, in the damned, or in other places like that if I don't do what he tells us to go ahead and do? And, you know, it talks about the narrow gate. It's a very narrow walkway to get to the Lord. And it's not going to be an easy task. But I look forward to it in that sense like Paul did. He says, I want to win the race. I want to be one of those who have achieved and done what my Father wants me to do. And we'll be able to see that smile on his face when we come before him. That's got to be my ultimate goal. That's got to be my ultimate objective, no matter what I have to go through to go ahead and do it, as many brethren have done before and now are celebrating it with God, with Christ, the saints in the heavens. So that's my goal, and that should be the goal of each and every one of us as well.
Hey, gentlemen, God works in patterns, doesn't he? I mean, God allows us to learn about him, and that's why Paul the Apostle wrote in Corinthians, and that was an excellent point, Pastor Ken. Paul the Apostle allows us to listen in 1 Corinthians, and he says, listen, here's how you're going to learn about God, by looking at what he did in times past. And so the patterns of God's dealings with an individual or nation are revealed to us. And I liken this moment that we're in like to the great Exodus. And it's interesting, we're coming to Passover, which is all about the Exodus out of Egypt. And that God's people came out of the house of bondage. They went into the wilderness through some mighty exploits that God did, the parting of the Red Sea, a supernatural season. And I'm hearing God in the last several months saying, I'm bringing everything to a supernatural season. I'm releasing my people from the house of bondage, and Egypt is going to be destroyed by the plagues that I send upon it. And in like manner, you know, I just see a time where the people of God are coming out of the mindset of the world, are coming out of, you know, this construct of globalization around the world into the kingdom mindset of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, the spiritual reality. And what a season we are in, because when you put it all together of everything, what everyone is saying, it sure does appear that Egypt is about to collapse. The nations of the earth are going to fall, and everything that is can be shaken is going to be shaken from heaven to earth. And yet the people of God are going to remain on a kingdom foundation that has never been destroyed. Now, very quickly, we've got a call coming in from South Dakota. Good morning, South Dakota. How is everybody out there?
Good. I have something to say concerning in Ezekiel 9, the entire chapter is about a vision showing the preservation of the righteous and the destruction of the wicked. And yes, what the antidote is in this chapter from God is that God is going to mark his righteous people. It's about the inkhorn. That is what is happening in America and other countries all over the world. God is marking the righteous. So we need to come to that place in the spirit where we ask God to mark us with this Holy Ghost. Now, That's what I presume I got out of it. I'm open to hear what other people have, because I believe we've come to that point now.
Well, that is an amazing testimony. I concur 1,000%. And I'm sure that the pastors on the line right now will also concur that you want to be under the seal, under the blood, under the covenant, as those. And remember, those that were sealed in Ezekiel's vision were those who wept and mourned and lamented for the condition of their nation. And I do believe that that must become the spiritual reality of the hearts of God's end time army, that our warfare goes in the tender love and for God first, and then for the way that things are. Pastor Ted, you have a program you begin every single day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Omega Radio Network. Pastor Ted Marshall with The Last Patrol. I almost said The Last Patron, but The Last Patrol, Pastor Ted, at 6 o'clock in the morning, every morning, Central Standard Time. You could tune in and listen to his morning show that kicks off the rest of the day. So as we're running down out of time, Pastor Ted, a final word from you, and then Pastor Ken.
In Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live is in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. We all need to do that. We all need to understand that we live for Christ. We crucified. He is in us. And through him, we can do miracles. Miracles. And one of the miracles that we're attempting to do is to save those that are heading down the wrong path. As the one pastor said that you had on earlier, have you ever raised the dead? Well, we are saving people from dying. We're saving them from a life of eternal death.
Amen. If they just knew they were dead already in their sins, and that the pathway of the wide road leads to eternal death, if we could just wake the people up, and that can be done, will be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Ken, final word to you, sir, before we go.
I like to be like Paul, where he said, I have run the race, and I have completed it.
and he was ready to go home at that point in time because he knew that he had done all that God had asked him to go ahead and do. It's that to be said of each and every one of us, what a miracle, what a great time we'll all have celebrating in heaven together.
Amen. Sister Kathy, anything else on your heart you'd like to share before we get rolling today?
Yes, in the book of Psalms, it says, "Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, but it shall not come nigh thy dwelling." So that's why we have to be marked with the Holy Ghost.
Wow, amen. What a blessing. I just feel like I'm on in a counseling chamber with the elders today, and I wish you all well and a very blessed day today. Anybody had a final word? Because I'm turning this over to Patricia Joy. She's going to run. I'm telling you, put your seatbelts on today because Patricia Joy is on her way. Guys, it's been an awesome blessing. Patricia Joy, are you ready? Speak into the moment.
Hello, hello, hello. How is everyone today? Some incredible things are being said, and I am just praising God for it because we're getting prepared. We're getting prepared and ready for what? We're getting prepared and ready for the coming of the Lord. You know, I was just reading again in Luke 21. It says, "Then there will be strange events in the skies, warnings, evil omens, and portents in the sun, moon, and stars. And down here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. The courage of many people will falter because of the fearful fate they see coming upon the earth, for the stability of the very heavens will be broken up. Then the peoples of the earth shall see me, the Messiah, coming in cloud with power and great glory. So when all these things begin to happen, stand straight and look up, for your salvation is near." We are standing. We are standing straight and we are looking up and we are preparing for the time we are in. They said warnings in the sky. We have never had blood red moons and solar eclipses continue and growing in momentum as we do now. This is the time like no other, and that is why we must prepare. And as of yesterday, we went into scripture that was absolutely correct for the times we're in. We were talking about the wonderful things God has given us with essential weapons and pleading the blood of Jesus. The blood restores man from the destructive works of Satan. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against demonic presence, and they are behind many, many strongholds that we see in government and in the earth today. And we were talking about how are we going to overcome? How are we going to stand strong as the Bible says we will, or asks us to do so? Well, we know that our weapons of combat to war against Satan, and that is who we're warring against, people. We're not warring against flesh and blood. They're only being used. We are warring against Satan and his devils. And by his devils are the authority of the shed blood of Christ, coupled with the word of God, that we will overcome the enemy. Knowing the scriptures and applying them to the areas which Satan is trying to destroy. We talked about that. It is so important to know our weapons of combat to war against the evil one and his devils. It is so important to know that the authority of the Jesus Christ has given us his authority through the shed blood, compelled and coupled with the word of God. We must know scripture and we must apply them to the areas which Satan is trying to destroy, and we see his work of destruction, and we have the weapons of warfare to work with, and we are preparing for the Lord's return. How are we doing it? How? Well, it is most important that you know the depth, the width, the height, and the breadth of scriptures, not through head knowledge. I cannot be strong enough in this. Not through head knowledge, but through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Through no other way will you and I be able to stand. We can't without this knowledge through the Holy Spirit. No other way are we able to stand. And let me add, if you use any words other than those from the scriptures at the moment of attack, when you've been attacked, you will not only lose the battle, but you will continue to lose many battles with Satan until you grasp and apply the truth of God's word. And then, and only then, will the lessons be learned. You must stand firm on the scriptures. When the Lord said, stand firm, he's talking about stand firm on my word. Don't be moved. Stand firm on my promises. Don't be moved. The enemy will try to move you through fear. Yes, he will. He will try to destroy you through sickness and disease and illness. But if we have promises, we have been given promises from the Almighty through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we move by the Holy Spirit, the most powerful weapons could imagine in universes, not just on earth, but in the universe. There is nothing more powerful than the weapons God has given us in the universes along with the earth. There are no greater weapons given unto man. And so we must stand firm on his word, the most powerful weapon ever. And as we begin to understand these things and learn through knowledge, we will be blessed, abundantly blessed with what we have learned and what we know. We will become such a wonderful, powerful, overcoming army. We will be absolutely amazed what God has in mind for us. Oh, yes, Satan is trying to take the world, but God has something so much greater in mind for us. And we must begin to learn how to overcome our sin. We must learn to how to overcome the spirit of the evil one. We must learn how to overcome emotional concepts and ideas that are not of God. We must learn to overcome our generational bloodline curses. We must learn to overcome lies and deceptions. We are beginning to see it. We are beginning to know how to work it. But this takes strength of faith. It takes strength in believing. It takes strength in knowing who we are in Christ Jesus. There are and will be always deceptions until we learn how to destroy and how to overcome them by the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are not to be toyed with or to be manipulated into something that fits one's fancy. We are not of the world. We are of a different breed. We must rise up. We must be taken into the realm of the Spirit with knowledge and understanding of how we are and who we are in Christ Jesus. You know, you cannot improve on the truth. There's nothing better. There's nothing greater, more magnificent than the truth. But the enemy tries to use his deceptions in universities. He tries to use his deceptions in government. And all those that are ruling in the shadow government or the governments of the world that have been deceived over and over again. A very few stand. And President Trump is trying. He is really trying, and we must pray for him like we never prayed for anyone, because all depends on it. He is a man. He said that he wants to be known as a praying president, greater than any president has ever been. And I know that's his heart's desire. There are things he must learn also, things that he has to deal with. When I speak of shadow governments in the dark state, he is involved with that. He is aware of it. He knows what they are doing. And he's trying hard to stand. And so we cannot improve on the truth. He must begin in truth. He must stand in truth. And that would be the perfection we would have. The perfection that we believe God has granted to us is the truth. And you cannot improve on it. And what is truth? Truth is the word of God. Well, our weapons that will work in a pulling down of strongholds of darkness are granted to us. His word is true, and his truth has almighty power. I don't believe we have understood the depth, the breadth, the length of this power, the depth, the width, the height of this power of Scripture. And I believe that we have not understood the revelation that the Holy Spirit desires and wants to give us about this power. We cannot add to it and we cannot subtract it. Praise be to his name. He has given us everything we need, body of Christ. He has given us weapons of combat to war against Satan and his devils and are the authority of the shed blood of Christ. He has given us that authority. He has given us that authority coupled with his word, as I said earlier. And before I go any further, allow me to reiterate something impressed in chapter one that must be clearly understood by the church in general. Remember what Paul, the apostle, said by the Holy Spirit in Romans 1:16. He said this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." Talking about power, the power of God to turn a life inside out and change it for greatness and wonder and overcoming spirit. I believe, for the most part, that there has been a social gospel that has gone forth into the mission fields of this country and all over the world. Things, hospitals and schools are being constructed, and other social and humanitarian programs are being established, such as youth groups and women's missions, homes for the needy, food programs, and the like, which are good in themselves, but they are not the gospel. The gospel speaks of it, but they are not the gospel. This may come as a shock to some, but these instructions and programs do not reflect the gospel of the kingdom of God. They have come short time and time again, but it is imperative at this time that we begin to understand what the gospel is truly all about. It is not about good works, and it is not about what we can do on this earth. The gospel is about the establishment of the kingdom of God as preached by Jesus and the early church, which was truth followed by signs and wonders. And he's about to do the same works again in our life. He is about to bring forth even the greater truth and the greater revelation of his word. And it will be followed by greater signs and greater wonders that the church has ever seen or ever will see until we walk into that new time of the messianic time of the millennium. And it is time coming right now. It is time coming right now. The kingdom Jesus proclaimed was at hand. I ask you, where are the signs and wonders of God being performed through the believers today? There are some, but they are very few in number. He said, "What I do, you shall do also. Even greater shall you do, because I go to the Father and send my Holy Spirit unto you." And what did he mean? That there will be greater numbers moving in his Holy Spirit, and greater numbers doing signs and wonders performed through the believers today, because we will be coupled with the latter and former rain. The Spirit is being poured out right now. Knowledge is being poured out right now from the heavenly realms, and the ability to do great wonders. Then you ask yourself the question, why are venereal diseases, heart failures and such the order of our times instead of the promises in Isaiah 53:5, which says, by his stripes we are healed, in which was fulfilled by Jesus in 1 Peter 2:24. We know that the gospel taught, preached, and lived by Christ was to go forth and heal the sick, cure diseases, cast out devils, and raise the dead, preaching that men should repent and turn from their wicked ways. We understand that. This is the good news, that he has provided us with the ability to live life without spot or blemish, without compromise, and without retreating to some watered-down lifestyle of partial survival. No more partial survival. We are not only to preach repentance, but also forgiveness with the power of the applied word of God that sets men free from Satan's bondage. Hallelujah. You know, after reading chapters 1 and 2 about casting out devils, I hope you now understand and are convinced that a Christian can be plagued by a demonic presence within his soul. Furthermore, we are to acquire the knowledge of how to fight the good fight with the power and the authority given to us in his name, that name which is above all names, in heaven, under heaven, on earth, and in the earth. His name is greater than any name ever written. His name is above all names on this earth, in heaven, under heaven, on earth, in earth. His name, and his name alone, is the great and mighty authority and power that we have been granted. Learn to speak his name. Learn to speak his name when you are involved with warfare. Learn to speak his name when you speak to people. Learn to speak his name when you are involved in your own life, overcoming emotional stress, because stress is a murderous spirit. Ignorance is only an invitation for Satan to inflict punishment upon us and torment us. And the fact that you are a Christian does not exempt you from these unlawful attacks and the following afflictions. And what are these following afflictions? Common sense. Common symptoms. Let us know closely, and we will closely examine the pattern of common symptoms inflicted by these indwelling spirits of darkness. First of all, we deal with emotional problems. That's the number one affliction. Emotional problems. They are people who are in need of deliverance, who will have continual recurrences of the spirits of, listen carefully, the spirits of hatred, anger, rejection, a feeling of being unwanted and unloved, self-pity, jealousy, envy, selfishness, unforgiveness, guilt, condemnation, depression, worry, inferiority, and insecurity. And I will later explain that all of these devil spirits bring with them lesser spirits, which are under order to kill and to destroy. So what do? You examine yourself. You examine yourself as the Lord told us to do. He said, examine yourself as to whether or not you are in the faith. If you are in faith, you can overcome these things that I just spoke of. You will know how to rebuke the enemy. He will flee from you. People that need deliverance will have these continual reoccurrences of the spirits. Examine yourself right now. Have you been in hatred? Have you been in anger? We could be angry, but we could sin not. We should sin not by not going to sleep with that anger in our heart. If we do, we will rise up in the morning with that anger in our heart, taking position as a spirit unwanted. So examine your heart of hatred. Are you an angry person, or are you carrying deep anger within you and you do not know it? That would turn into a root of bitterness. You must be very careful about that. Body of Christ, if you're going to be the power that God has called you to be in the army of God, these are essential demonic presence that we must overcome to be that perfect coming army. We must overcome these things, and we have been granted the power to do so. Don't think we have not. Are you walking in any kind of fear, especially fear of the day? Remember, he has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us love, power, and a sound mind. And that's a spirit. Love is a spirit. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So he didn't give us fear. That is an unholy spirit of attack. You must not walk in fear. You must grasp by faith the promises God has granted to you. Have you been walking your life taken over by the bondage of rejection? Rejected from your parents, rejected from loved ones, rejected from a spouse, rejected from your own children. Have you been walking with that spirit? Have you been a Christian yet bound by that spirit? Examine yourself. Examine that. A feeling of being unwanted and unloved. That's what rejection gives you. It gives you a feeling of being unwanted and unloved. Have you felt that way? It's a lie. Don't receive it. You are so loved and so wanted by the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. You have no idea, I have no idea, how great that love is. It's beyond what we understand now, but we're beginning to see the light, the truth. Look how we love our kids, our children. Look how much we want the best for them. That is so small, so slight in comparison to the desire and the great love of the Father who has created us. Think about it. If you created something, wouldn't you watch after it? Wouldn't you want to love it and take care of it? Especially if it moved and had its being in the likeness of yourself? Of course you would. And check your heart about self-pity. See if you are wallowing in self-pity, wallowing by a demon, wallowing by an unholy spirit, telling you that nothing's good enough in your life. Oh, woe is me, woe is me. And you continue to try to rise up in pride, arrogant pride, because you feel the self-pity moving upon you and you can't come out of it. You need deliverance. Check the spirit of jealousy. Are you jealous over anyone above you that has made it in a greater manner and way than you have? Perhaps in the ministry, or perhaps in finances, or perhaps in love relationships? Check your heart. Jealousy is a woe. Jealousy is a very strong demonic presence. Satan himself is jealous of our Heavenly Father, but he put himself in that position. How did he do it? He did it through rebellion. Don't be a rebellious person. Check yourself to see if there's jealousy in your heart. And if so, fall on your knees and say, Lord, you have given me your Holy Spirit as you have given anyone else who calls upon you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you live in me. You grant unto me all the gifts, all the promises of God. You are a guide unto my feet. You are the one who helps me to overcome in all things. Holy Spirit, I have what everybody else has been granted if they have received you. I should be jealous of no one. I have every opportunity to be walking in the greatness of my Father in ministry or any other way, in relationships, in any other way. I should be jealous of no one with more than I have, because that is covetousness, and you can grant me all that anyone has. If I would believe, have a clean heart and mind, and receive your blessings abundantly. Check your heart for envy. Do you envy? Do you covet another's? Whatever they have? Do you find yourself envying because somebody has made something marvelous of their life and you haven't done it yet? You could have the same. You have the same Holy Spirit. Check your heart for envy. It's a sin against God. You will never make it that way. No matter how hard you try to step on another to do so, you will never make it that way. God will see to it. He wants your heart clean and right before him so he could equip you in these days that we're in. Check your heart for selfishness. Is everything for you? Everything that you do, is it for your benefit? And you care not that you're hurting others in the midst of it? It's what you want. It's what you desire. That'll never work. Selfishness will never work. Become selfless and care and desire for others what they need and want. Abandon yourself for others, especially those most close to you. Stop being self-centered and thinking only of who you are and what you want. That'll never work. To be an overcomer that God has called you to be, repent. You need deliverance from this demonic presence. And unforgiveness, you've heard me say in the past, you cannot and you will not ever, ever be able to receive forgiveness from the Lord God Almighty through our Lord Jesus Christ unless you forgive others. Their work against your life. You must forgive others for what they have done against you that you should be and could be forgiven from our Lord, or else it will never happen that you will know him and have salvation. It cannot be. It will never be. To God be the glory for those who have known and believed. But unforgiveness is a demon spirit. Unforgiveness is a spirit that Satan himself carries within his heart to all that he believes that carries the spirit of Christ within them. And he wants to destroy him for that reason. Forgive so you may be forgiven and begin this work of overcoming, because that is demonic. It's a demonic spirit. And guilt that you're carrying, if you are, examine yourself to see whether or not you are carrying guilt. If you still are, then you haven't received the gift of God that he gave when he went to the cross, when he put his life at stake and died for you. When he did that, when he went to the cross, he took all guilt and shame on himself that you would be carrying through sin. There's no longer reason to be guilty or ashamed for any sin you have committed, anything you have done in the past or recent. Go to him and ask for forgiveness. He paid a price for it. He shed his blood. That's why it's so powerful. His shed blood is so powerful. It forgives sin. And what is the greatest sin of all? The sin of unbelief. Ask his forgiveness for not believing in him, for the great sacrifice which he has done on your behalf. Guilt, terrible spirit, and you can never become an overcomer through that spirit. Examine your heart to see whether or not you are still guilty, because it is not of God, it's of the evil one. The spirit of condemnation is in the world, but look at your own heart to see if you still feel condemned. If you do, if you still feel condemned, you never have received the spirit of forgiveness from the Holy One. Jesus Christ has forgiven you through his shed blood. And if you have not received it and still feel guilty, condemnation is in your soul. And condemnation will take you to hell. You cannot believe in God and be condemned at the same time, posed one to another. And so consider yourself. Are you walking in condemnation? Are you walking in depression? That's of the enemy. And you know, the condemnation is in the world. All who are in the world who have not received God and Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, all who are walking in the world in that way, they are under condemnation and they are condemned. And unless they turn from that and begin to see the truth, their salvation will be given to them through Jesus Christ. But if they don't, that condemnation will take them to hell and they will live there forever. And when you want to consider that as a reality, when that becomes one to you, you will run to the Lord. You will fall on your knees and ask for forgiveness, because hell is a reality, people of God. And all who are listening, hell is a reality. And if you found yourself under depression, there is only one who will depress you, and that is the devil and all his cohorts working against your life by an unholy spirit. Move out from depression into praising the Lord with great joy in your heart, because he delivered you from this spirit. Thank him that he has. And depression will leave. Satan will flee. But if you cannot do so, if you find yourself in depression day in and day out, you need deliverance. You need deliverance. Please then get my book and read about deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. You can get it online through Amazon so that you begin to understand what depression is all about and how to be delivered from that demonic presence. If you're worried, you will only end up in stress, and that's a killer. And that is spirit is not of God. If you really believe in him, there is nothing to worry about, because everything is in hands. He controls all things. He controls your life, and he loves you. He will be sure to help you in your way, in every way you ask, if it isn't done just on pride and arrogance. There's nothing to worry about except for this day. And everything that is in this day, you could present to the Lord, and he'll work you right through it. Tomorrow you don't have. Yesterday's gone. You have today. Don't worry. Don't worry, it'll cause you stress. And if it's causing you stress, physical ailments will come upon you. This is the working of the enemy. There's nothing to worry about. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And if you love him and know him, you have been called according to his purpose. If you feel inferiority, there's nothing to feel inferiority about. You have the same Holy Spirit, the same power, the same might that has been granted to man by our Lord Jesus Christ. And you could become anything you desire to. And if you're walking in insecurity, that means you have not received the goodness of God and what he has offered to you. And so, as I said, I will later explain that all of these devil spirits bring with them lesser spirits, which are under order to kill and destroy. I will teach you and show you the different problems that come from not only mental problems, sexual problems, addictions, and others. So I bid you goodbye for today. I will pick up tomorrow, hopefully. You'll be with me on the air. We will learn together. We'll overcome together for the great and mighty work that God has in mind. God bless you. Be made whole in Yeshua's name.